On this episode of the Generation X Files. We're talking about pets, but I don't think we should take it that literally. You know, you're a crazy cat lady. Generation X Files. I'm Dan America. We have Tatiana here, as always, and Emer in studio with us. What happened? What are you looking at me like that for? You just gave me a weird look. Oh, you disrupted my opening to show me like an obscure can of beer or soda?
Why is that in the studio? Someone's trying to get us in trouble.
No.
I'm convinced.
Well, it's been a hard day.
Yeah,
not mine. We were in kind of trouble because this is the re-recording of the pets episode.
There's a long story behind why I'm paranoid about beer in the studio.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know whose that is. And there's disclaimer.
There is also a long story behind why we had to re-record this episode. And so today's session episode, whatever you want to call it. What do we call it?
File.
Session? You make it sound like therapy.
Yeah, well, or like sex, you know, that was a good session.
Oh, God.
Do people say that?
Of course, Tatiana had to make it dirty. But
I've heard a lot of people say that. Maybe that was just my college days.
Talking about pets and you guys are coming up with therapy and sex, and I don't even get to make my angry...
Pets have sex too, Dan.
Yes,
God.
I know that, but they don't do
Haven't
it on a podcast.
Haven't you heard that, what's that band? Bloodhound Gang song.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I know Bloodhound Gang has a song about animals having sex, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about pets. We're talking about generation pets and millennial pets.
Generation pets?
You just want to interrupt me right now, don't you?
I know. The original of this podcast was so much better already. I'm sorry.
Oh, what? Well, what are you talking about?
It's my fault. I keep interrupting.
This should be like brilliant from your perspective because you keep interrupting me.
Well, it is. I'm not saying it's making for a good podcast, but it's,
she's enjoying herself.
I'm enjoying it.
Look, back in my day, we didn't baby our pets. Back in my day, all that you needed to have a dog was a leash, a yard, and a stick, and everything was fine. Nowadays, everyone babies their pets. They dress up their pets. There's more dog parks than I can really count. However, they don't have a place for cat owners, which doesn't surprise me.
And they should. I love cats.
You know, I have a theory about that, which I'm going to get to later. However, now you have like these gourmet pet stores, these gourmet pet biscuits. People have emotional assistant pets. People want to bring their pets on planes, buses, and trains.
Planes, trains, automobiles.
Millennials have made owning a pet soft, just like millennials are soft. And also millennials have made owning a pet more about them than the pet, because they actually have to have these pets that are emotional support dogs or cats or gerbils or ferrets.
Well,
or,
I think that there's a place for the ones that are true therapy animals, because I deal with that a lot in mental health. And I know people who have, you know, gone from suicidal states to not with the help of therapy pets. But I think that there's a little bit of, you know, people nowadays, it seems like, just want to get a pet and say, oh, it's my therapy pet.
But the point is that Generation Xers didn't go overboard with their pets. Generation Xers had a dog or a cat or a hamster or something, and that was it.
Yeah, and if you were Ozzy Osbourne, you bit the head off one.
I wouldn't say that those were his pets. But Generation Xers knew how to have a pet. Generation Xers knew how to give a pet freedom and character. Nowadays, millennials are dressing their pets up in like name brand outfits and making their pets look just as stupid as they are.
Yeah, and I want to just make a note on that. Like, so the statistics, it's interesting statistics I found in Fortune magazine. In 1994, so think of the adults in 94, it's still Gen Xers, right? People who are adults in 94. the pet industry was worth $17 billion. That was the first year that statistics were really collected on how much people spend on pets. So $17 billion in 94. In 2016, it was up to $62 billion spent on pets. A difference of like, what, $50 billion? Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
That's crazy. A lot of pennies.
Inflation does not account for that much. That's like spending trends in millennials.
Well, that's because just like millennials are self-entitled, they think that their pets are entitled as well. And millennials take things a step further with pets. Millennials don't know how to welcome in a new pet. Do you ever hear of this pet cloning business?
What?
What?
Yeah, people clone.
Really?
Yeah, people have cloned their previous pets.
People who can afford it, though.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. I'm middle class. I'm
just, yeah, who's
millennials that can afford it? Millennials that can afford it.
Seven of the same sheep, I guess. good question. Or here's a question, though. Don't say good question, Emer. Jesus, don't compliment yourself in the same sentence. So what was it like walking into a pet store back in the day?
Oh, it was great. There was pets all over the place. They couldn't keep their crickets locked up. I always talk about the old pet store in my hometown of Latham, New York, where they had Jimmy the Monkey, and Jimmy the Monkey was miserable.
Oh, shit.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But Jimmy in terms of like apparel and stuff like that, I mean, was it surely food and like...
Yeah, I don't think
and collars.
I can't, honestly, growing up, you know, and granted, I grew up more like in a rural area and stuff, but I don't remember anyone dressing up their pets when I was a kid. Like, I don't ever remember even seeing that until maybe 10 years ago
Well,
or
it
so.
was done by the circus that circled back to Jimmy the Monkey or whatever. I mean, I guess he had an outfit or two, but like...
Jimmy the Monkey had no outfits. He had a diaper.
You don't know what he did on the weekends, Dan.
He probably stayed in his cage because... I can't
major
go.
Major party animal.
I can't go and pat Generation Xers on the back for being great pet owners. I mean, how often now do you hear about junkyard dogs, like real junkyard dogs, not the guy from the WWE?
Yeah.
Although neither of you probably know who the junkyard dog is. No. However,
I know Spike's Junkyard Dogs. It's a hot dog place in Boston that's really good.
I know the guys that remove junk, and they're called J-Dog.
Yeah.
I see those vans around all the time.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about, you guys. Thanks a lot.
But here's what's fascinating to me. Like Emer brought up, I just realized we never introduced ourselves.
Well,
hello, my name is Helga.
Well, don't worry, because now... Introduction. I'm Dan America. You can find me on Twitter at Human America. You can also find me on Facebook at Dan America and Instagram, Dan America 59. You can also check out Q103Albany.com to read my blogs. You can check out the Q103 YouTube channel and see videos of me and Tatiana and I. And sometimes my blogs show up on alt105.7.com. Is that the website?
Yes, that is.
I got it right.
No, you didn't. Alt1057albany.com.
Well, there you go.
You keep forgetting the Albany. We're in Albany.
You know, alt.com is a fetish site.
I'm glad you said that because I will now not go there.
Okay.
I'm Tatiana. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at RockGirlTatiana. And you can find my blogs on Q103Albany.com and Alt1057Albany.com. And yeah, you can listen to me on air at Q103 as well.
My name is Emer. I have an Instagram account, and that's the only place that I'm relevant in social media. Other than that, you can find me at my house and my job. And I like Dunkin' Donuts, and Dave and Buster's is a fun time.
Okay.
My name on Instagram is EmerRyan30. Thank you very much.
Wow, it's like we're playing the dating game or something.
I know. We need to do a podcast on dating.
Remember that guy from the dating game that was a murderer?
Yes, I remember him.
Remember him?
He didn't have any pets.
Are you sure?
That I know of.
So, this is what we were, before we went stopped to do introductions, this is what I was going to say when I realized we hadn't done introductions yet.
Okay.
Because I said Emer's name. So, like Emer had brought up, you know, what pet stores were like years ago. Did they have clothes and yada yada? One of the things that has blown my mind with this millennial trend of dressing up pets all the time is, right, like an animal is made to be outdoors. Like dogs have fur. Animals are made to live outdoors. And that's just biologically how they are and how they've evolved. But yet, like, you see people dressing up their dogs in like winter vests and coats and like boots. And it doesn't make sense to me because to me, like an animal has evolved to be outdoors.
That's like putting seven other layers on top of this dog. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's what millennials are doing. They're de-evolving pets.
Yeah. I don't get it. Yeah. I would be like miserable if I was a dog. Like imagine being a husky already warm and then you have like a big jacket on you. Like what?
Oh, and the things I don't get the most are the raincoats. The raincoats. Because that dog is literally, you put it in, you've literally wrapped it in cling film. Saran wrap. Like the dog is dying in underneath that thing.
I know.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
Do they have raincoats for cats?
For sure.
I'm sure. I don't buy that stuff for my cats because I let my cats just be cats.
Cats are cats.
I do spend money on toys for them, but you know, not clothing. I one time ever I bought Halloween costumes to try to put on my cats. No. Like it was like, you know, a headpiece or whatever.
Oh my god.
They were one got depressed and just lied there. The other got pissed. I have photos of it. It's hysterical. The other got pissed off and like tried to attack his thing. It was like it so did not work out. So
well, here's another thing. See, back in my day.
None of us can talk today.
Pet shops were primarily mom and pop, and now you have pet shop chains. So someone decided that they were just going to dominate the industry and just completely forget about old mom, pa that wanted to sell you a pup.
That's true. And I think that, like, on top of that, there's so much with the marketing and the you know, economy with this generation. It's like big chains and online shopping, you know, and you need, it's weird, but it's like, I don't know anywhere else, but like I know in the Capital District, like online shopping has taken over everything. You look at the malls around here and they're now half like restaurants and entertainment centers because they can't be sustained on just shops alone because everyone goes online. And you know, people, they need products and like competition. So like, let's start marketing this for dogs and this for cats and this and this and this. It's crazy.
And how often do you see like a sign like at like a residential home saying, you know, free puppies or something like that or free kittens?
I see that a lot. Well, I had my cat was pregnant and had kittens. I gave away kittens to, I interviewed. I made sure they had good homes that they were going to. But I do see that a lot in rural.
Did you serve coffee?
No.
Did you make it like a formal interview?
No.
Was there an application process?
Was there a fish tank in the waiting?
It was actually all people I know that I knew that wound up, like coworkers and stuff. But, you know, I wanted to make sure they got good homes. But I do see that more in rural areas. Like when I go back to where I grew up and I'm driving through, I do see signs or like in rural areas that's like free puppies or free cat. I think that's more of also a rural versus city thing. All right,
at least that's cool now.
Yeah.
Another thing is, so decline cats.
Oh, no. No. No.
What about like the gel things with the glue that that you put on the cat's claws?
No. No.
You haven't heard about this?
No.
Yeah.
I know declawing. I've heard of that. But
declawing cats is like, it's horrible. Like from what I've heard, it's like from any vet I've ever talked to, like I will never declaw my cats. It scared me so much because it's not just like a manicure, like nails, like their claws are like appendages, you know? So it's like basically like if you chopped off your forearm and you had nothing to move, that's like what it's like to declaw a cat.
It's like you said, these things are built and they grow in a way that's like, you know, biologically a cat needs them.
Yeah.
For I mean, obviously indoor and outdoor is a different story, but like if it's growing this thing, and like how could you, I mean, if you got put to sleep and then someone cut your fingers off.
I know. Can you imagine?
How are you going to wake up in the morning and be okay with that?
Oh, my God.
Like, I get a cat doesn't have the same psyche as a human or whatever, but, like,
it's still traumatic.
It's still missing stuff.
Yeah.
It can't, now it can't claw at the couch anymore. So, like, it knows it's gone.
Yeah. It's almost worse if it's, like, you have an animal where it's pure instinct. Because then it's just, like, you know, like, humans can process what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Animals can. They're just, I mean, it's horrible. Yeah, I don't know.
So, from what I gather, what has happened is that we've gone from Generation X, where having a pet was kind of the equivalent of keeping a pet in the wild. However, people did do some cruel things to animals. But millennials, they've softened their pets with these silly little outfits.
They've made everything customizable.
Yeah.
Everything.
But they've also made things safer for the pets.
And they've humanized pets a little bit, I feel
like. Yeah, they've humanized pets, but they've also turned it into this big market where a corporation can have their own pet stores across the country. Mm-hmm. Or you can go online and, you know, custom order your pet. Like, I had one dog that was artificially the product of artificial insemination.
What? Bizarre.
Yeah, it was a, well that's my wife. Well, she's changed her mind since then. She's a rescue person now, but before that, she was into purebred. So we had a he's still alive. His name is Lucky. He is a purebred miniature schnauzer.
Oh.
And we call him Lucky because he was the only one to survive his litter.
Oh.
Well, that's what you get for artificially inseminating.
Yeah, purebreeding things. I don't get that. What's, I mean, I get it in the whole thing of, like, you know, like pet competitions and...
Yeah, like if you're doing dog shows.
Pitting them against each other. But why is pedigree necessary? Why is it?
So, like, I have, I know someone...
I think
someone...
it's so they can jack up the price.
For, yeah.
Your voice just now. You sounded like, oh my God, what's his name? What's the actor's name from The Birdcage? Mm.
Nathan Lane?
Yes.
Okay.
You just sounded like Nathan Lane just now. I love Nathan Lane. But no, I know people who actually have had dogs that have competed and won in the Westminster Dog Show, which is the huge, like, dog show in the U.S. And so it's a big deal with that and the culture. I get that if you're having, you know, if you're having a dog for show, just like if you have a horse, you know, and you're breeding a race horse versus, like, you know, just a pet horse, because I know people have horses as pets too. But I don't get it for personal. Like, if I was going to get a dog, you know, does pet agreement, like, does it matter? Like, why does
why do I need to research back into his, you know, great, 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 great grandmother?
Exactly. Right.
Like,
exactly.
I don't care. It's got four legs, a tail, and it's happy.
And it's cute. And I want to get a good home. Right.
Exactly.
Now, do you guys find it that Generation X, if they had a dog or a cat, it was, you know, they had a dog or a cat, they didn't really care much about the breed, but millennials, they care too much about the breed because they got purebreds. Then they got these designer dogs that look like they're living teddy bears or something.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of that's the grooming and stuff too.
Yeah.
And I think that like there's more focus, you know, because now it's an interesting thing with millennials too. You have pets that have Instagram accounts with like thousands and thousands of followers, and like, you know, it's
Doug the Pug is the most famous dog.
Doug the Pug.
No, he is though. He really is.
Yeah, like we have a friend who's in a rock band, and his dog has an Instagram account. There's you go on Instagram.
Is his dog more famous than the band?
No, another band. But the dog's pretty famous. But you know, there's so it's like this whole thing where like pets are seriously so humanized that they have Instagram accounts.
Yeah,
and
the
it's
weirdest,
crazy.
The weirdest part of that bit of it is the I'm going to talk for my dog.
Yes, it's so bizarre to me.
Like, I get it. You know, here's a picture of my dog out in a field really enjoying himself. Okay, cool. I love long walks on the beach, and I like to lick my ass afterwards. Like, I don't put words in its mouth.
Right.
It doesn't speak.
What kind of dogs are you following on Instagram?
Every dog licks its own ass. Okay,
I know.
All right,
get real.
Fine.
But it's true. It's so bizarre. I don't know. It's an interesting trend with this generation.
Okay, now what about weird pets? Do you think millennials are making pets out of things that aren't supposed to be pets, like skunks and
I'm already
pigs
guilty.
And,
well, there's
what do you mean you're
Pumpkin the raccoon.
I had a chameleon for 2 months.
Yeah, but that's fine. You can have a chameleon. Chameleon's like kind of like a normal thing.
But only
thing
2 months. This is a story.
I know. Well, we're going to get into our pets next. But before we get into our pets, I just wanted to touch a little bit on this business about how... So you have dog parks. Mm-hmm. And I found it that millennials have made more dog parks where Generation X's dog park was their backyard. Mm-hmm. But millennials have to be special, so they need their dog parks. But they don't have cat parks or, like, cat places. And why not? Why not have, like, a place where that's, like, all decked out in cat toys? You just go there and you throw your cat down. And I have a theory for this, and... It kind of defines Tatiana's personality. That's because cat people are weird shut-ins, and they don't want to see other cat owners. They just want to be weird shut-ins. Like, you ever notice, like, If you're dating, someone has to point out that if they're a cat person or they're a dog person.
Yeah.
And
it's a thing.
And cat people never really go out that much.
I like my cats. I don't want to go out. I like my cats.
I mean, dog people have a place where they can gather, but cat people are just supposed to sit inside and be ashamed and take orders from...
It's for the dog. It's not for the people. It's for the dog.
I guarantee if I had a dog and I went to a dog park, hey, I still would not want to talk to people.
You don't. It's not. It's kind of like, oh, how old is he? Or how old is she? It's kind of like having a kid and going to like a creche or something.
I've been to dog parks.
I bet you
have. Yeah, but I mean, how many lifelong friends do you have from said dog parks?
Right.
I don't, but the other people do, because naturally I don't get along with weird people, or what's the superficial people.
Is that a generational thing to, this is kind of, well, it's on topic but off topic. Is it a generational thing to box yourself too? Is it like back in the, you know, the 80s, 90s where people saying, I am a dog person, I am a cat person?
I think it's a generational thing where people feel that they need to define themselves put themselves in some kind of category to, I don't know, find belonging or something. Generation X was kind of like...
They're trying to make friends, Dan.
Kind of like the social jungle. You know how you make friends? You go, hey, how's it going?
How old is your dog?
I'm Dan. I like wrestling.
I don't think people know how to really do that, though, nowadays.
Unless it's on their Facebook or their Instagram.
Yeah.
And that's what I see at these dog parks is, you know, people got to take pictures of the dog at the dog park running around and taking a dump, and they got to show everyone, oh, look how good of a pet mama I am. Look how good of a furry mama or dada I am. It's stupid. Why do you have to give yourselves names that sound ridiculous to point out how much of a ridiculous lifestyle you're leading, where the only interesting thing that you have to show people is what you do with your fucking dog?
How do you really feel?
How do I really feel? Wait, what do you mean?
You just got so heated talking about that.
Well, I did kind of, because it's just stupid. I mean, come on. People have had dogs and cats for generations. You don't have to call yourself furry parents. Right?
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is that what that is?
They really call themselves these things. They have to make...
You mean like dog mom and dog...
Yeah, they have to make a big deal about how they're pet parents. They just can't say, yeah, this is my dog. When I got my current dog, I sent a picture of him to my friend, and I said, this is BB-8. He farts.
Well, that's you. I think everyone's different. I will say what I think is funny, though, that has changed over the times with people being like furry parents now. And like when I was growing up, the woman who was the cat lady was like the weird, creepy woman in town. Where nowadays
now
it's like, I'm like, I have cats, I love my cat. But that's like a normal thing. You know what I mean? Like people take pride in being the cat ladies. But it's like back when I was growing up and, you know, all the Generation Xers that were cat ladies, you know, like there's something wrong with
no
them.
One's taking them. No one's taking
Don't
pride.
Go near that woman.
I know.
No one's taking pride in being a cat man. Maybe they're using it to try to lure.
I'm sure there's someone out there.
Yeah, they're
taking pride in being a cat man.
Yeah, you know, they're walking up to girls at the coffee shop saying, "Hey, baby."
Oh my god.
So I've got like a lot of cats at home.
Maybe it works for them. How do you know if it doesn't?
See, that's another thing about cat owners is that if you're going to move in together, it's a little bit harder to introduce the cats to each other.
It's really hard. It takes so long. I have had to introduce cats to things multiple times.
Oh, okay.
Like, because we've adopted cats at different stages. So, like, introducing cats to each other takes forever. It's such a pain in the ass. It's such a pain in the butt.
And there's probably some, like, somebody out there making money off of being, like, a cat mangler or something.
A what?
Yeah.
No, say it again.
A cat mingler or something.
That's another
or cat lubricator.
Matchmaker.
But this is the thing in millennial time, and I don't know if this happened back in Gen X. I'm going to go ahead and guess not. But now with millennials, like I have multiple people I know who have their pets on like mental health meds. Like I have,
what?
I know multiple people I know who's like,
how the f- How the hell do you know if your cat's depressed?
One person's the vet prescribes the dog trazodone to help them sleep. Another person, the vet prescribes the dog benzos for their anxiety.
No.
I know people whose pets are on antidepressants. No joke. Like, multiple people where it's a thing. It's not like one isolated person. It's like a thing now, is that.
I think people are being taken advantage of. It's crazy.
I am obsessed. Obsessed with dogs. Dan, you're going to hate it when I get to talk about it. Because it's like, you know, I love the way they look. They're cute as hell. Every kind of dog is cool. But I think if owning one, like, I'm not putting my dog on depression meds.
Literally,
like,
I don't.
I'm not putting my dog on meds.
And not even to talk about, like, the monetary side of it. Like, if, you know, it's a dog. It's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
If your dog looks depressed, you scratch its belly. That's all you do.
I swear, I know so many people whose dogs are on mental health meds, and it's crazy to me because, honestly, I'm going to sound like a jerk, but sometimes I look at the owners and I'm like, I can see why your dog's so anxious.
Does it look greasy?
You know, no, they're just like, and the thing is, animals can sense humans, right? Like, if I walk into a room and I'm anxious, an animal can sense that because that's their instinct.
Yeah.
And I think, like, if you have owners that are high strung and anxious all the time, the pets are going to sense that.
Is that what your cats tell you?
True.
You know, no, that's just my understanding of how I make sense of stuff. My cats and I talk in meows.
But how do you diagnose a dog as being depressed? Isn't it just like, that dog, like, every dog has its characteristics. Well, you bring them to this place, in
the waiting room, you have a bunch of depressed dogs, you know, just sitting there looking at each other. Then you bring the dog onto the doggy therapist couch and, you know, talks to the therapist about how, you know, the milk bones just don't taste the same way that they used to. And he chased a squirrel the other day and the squirrel didn't run.
I don't think they talk. No, they can't talk. Like, I don't know. Like, I get it for humans, right? Like, I know all the diagnostic criteria in and out for humans. I have no clue how you would diagnose.
And all this came from me wanting to talk about how cat people perhaps have some kind of, like, mental disorder.
Huh? Are we going to talk about our pet stories, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
That is next. So I just wanted to try to make fun of you a little bit and talk about how cat people are shut-ins, and that's why they don't have cat parks, because cat owners don't want to look at each other. They just want to look at their cats. That's all I want to do.
It's true. I literally love...
Okay, before we transition into our pet stories, I have to say it. Well, I have to bring it up. So, who are ruined referring to your cats as pussies? Was that millennials or Generation X?
That's a good question.
That was definitely a thing in the 70s. So
yeah.
Yeah, way before millennials.
Yeah. In the 70s, they loved their pussies. They were talking about their pussies all the time.
Yeah, but genitalia.
But how the slang is used.
I can't see how you guys are looking at me from behind the monitors.
That's what you get. You just have to interpret.
Am I getting daggers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What? See? The whole connection is ruined.
I was speaking of pets. I'm on the computer right now. Actually, in one of the top news stories on my home screen is hilarious cat shaming photos go viral. You know, have you seen the cat shaming or dog shaming things?
I've seen the dog shaming.
So people make a sign and they put it by the dog. It's like, I peed and whatever. And
Because everybody needs to know about it.
Oh, God.
All right. Now let's get into our pet stories.
Okay.
Who wants to go first here? Because I've got a pretty good solid recollection or memory of my pet stories, but... I don't want to take up all the time. I want to let you guys talk about your pets first. And remember, after the pet stories, we're gonna play two little games.
Okay. I like games.
Me too. All right, Tatiana, why don't you talk about if I remember correctly, Emer has had less pets than us, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay,
yeah.
So
Emer's got some good stories too.
Emer, tell us about your pets.
That means I go first.
Yes.
Okay. On the last time we recorded this, I did forget about two dogs that I had.
How could you forget about your dogs?
I know, it's unbelievable. Well, I was thinking about in the context of the pets that I've had since I was in the US, mm-hmm. and that's only two, four. Jesus Christ! I fostered two cats.
Forget about your pets often,
so
there, Emer.
What?
forget about your pets often there?
I know, and it's usually my entire life, so I don't know how that happens. Anyway, had two dogs when I was back in Ireland. One of them was fantastic. He used to sit down and talk to you all the time. He was great, loved him.
What did he say?
Just news. He liked to talk about the weather a lot. And then we had another dog that was just way too hyper. I remember we gave her to my granddad, who had a farm. So he took an actual farm, not the hypothetical farm in the sky.
Oh, God. I shouldn't laugh at that.
No, but he had an actual farm. And she just had so much, her name was Trixie. She just had so much energy that, like, he used to tie her to a tire tractor and let her run around the yard. But the purpose of the tire tractor was literally just so she would pull it. She would have to pull it so hard that she would drain her energy in, like.
Oh, wow.
It still took 2 hours. It still took 2 to 4 hours for the dog to calm down. But she was great. And then he obviously used her for herding cattle and sheep and stuff like that. So she had a job, and she was much happier up there than she was down in our house with us. I mean, she had a yard, but, like, you know, not nowhere near as much room to run around and stuff like that. But the better stories come along with the pets that I've had since I was here. So we first started off, and when you're in the whole apartment environment and things like that, you're very limited as to what you can get.
Mm-hmm.
So it started out as a want to have a guinea pig, and then the guinea pig turned into buying a chameleon because it was on sale. So, Mortimer the chameleon. Fun guy for about...
I love
about,
that name,
about,
Mortimer.
Yeah, it's a good name. Fun guy for about a month and a week, I would say. And then something just happened. He just turned a bit nasty. So it was the thing of everybody knows about chameleons, you know, they change color, and they genuinely do. But it's based more so on, like, wants and needs and mood rather than background or anything like that. Like, yeah. If they're trying to disappear, he never blended into the wall, but he was always like either a really light shade of green, like lime green, or a darker color. So we started to notice that a couple of weeks into having him, he was more black than green most of the time. And we were like panicking all the time, just being like, what is wrong with him? He's going to drop dead soon if we don't figure this out.
Oh my God.
We did everything. We bought the kid a heat lamp. We bought him a nighttime heat lamp. We bought him a daytime heat lamp. We did everything for this thing. And he just wouldn't go green again. So we kind of got to the point where he was getting more moody and everything as well. We built him this thing where it was a paracord that went from our TV stand up the wall and across the ceiling so that he could, like, climb on it and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think the thing was that we spoiled him too much and he got a little bit bratty. And then when we kept, like, taking him off of the wire and putting him back into the cage, he would turn black again. Like,
oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
What a moody little thing.
So this dude was just so... He was, like, yeah, exactly, moody, such a brat. And, but, like, the reasoning behind getting a chameleon wasn't good enough for us to keep him, because we're not reptile people. Mm-hmm. We figured that out fairly early on into it. So we ended up giving Mortimer to a friend of a friend who has had, like, a bunch of reptiles. He has bearded dragons. He's had a couple of snakes. So he knows more so what their whole, like, what their whole agenda and everything is about. Like, he was able to figure him out really quick, and apparently he's doing really well now.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I hope.
I mean, it's not awesome that he turned black for you, but that's awesome. Yeah. He's doing well now.
Mortimer, if you're listening, miss you, bud. No, he did in the end, though.
He just
turned
him black.
He did try and bite me.
Oh my gosh!
The thing is, you can't get bitten by a chameleon. They don't have any teeth. It's basically just like, the hard... It's not even skin. You can't really describe it as skin, but it's whatever. I guess it must be like really tough cartilage or whatever, just around their mouth.
Because
that's how they eat. I mean, when they obviously do the... I have so many slow-mo videos of that guy eating crickets, like, and they're impressive. It's really cool to watch it.
Whoa, wait a minute.
What?
You're taking slow-mo videos of the chameleon?
Yeah, because, like, his tongue flips out of his mouth and he, like, catches the...
Okay.
He catches the cricket. So it looks cool as shit.
All right, I guess I see that.
Yeah, those are pretty sweet. And I mean, it's not... We were looking for a pet that you can kind of gauge a little bit more emotion off of, and he definitely didn't fulfill those things for us. And, I mean, down to the point, like, pets are it's like 50% because you love animals, and then it's 50% you want this thing to interact with you and show you affection or whatever.
Yeah.
So when it's not doing that, it's like... And people get pets for selfish reasons. That's not, I mean, it's selfish down to the core of it. Like, you want
something
the cat
to cuddle with.
Yeah, and you want something to look after and something to mind and protect and everything.
Yeah.
But at the root of it all, you know, he couldn't stay with us. He wasn't a right fit. But now he's much happier.
Well, good for Mortimer.
He sounds sassy.
Yeah, he is. Hella sassy. And then the second pet we have, which is still with us, thank God, we had a bit of a scare there last week, Tina the hamster. Tina the hamster is the cutest thing I've ever seen. She's tiny, she's fat, and she has a nubbin for a tail, and her bum is hilarious, and she's just so funny. However, we have now nicknamed her Tina Houdini Ryan Kelly, because she's made a couple of escape attempts. We've found her every single time. The last one was last week, and she was missing for an entire day. We got up in the morning, she wasn't inside in the cage, and we looked for her for a couple of minutes before we had to go to work. Absolutely no hope. So our plan was to leave. We strategically left 6 Cheerios in the middle of the kitchen floor in such a shape that, you know, we would know had she come out and you know, messed with them or tried to eat them or whatever. And we came back later on that evening and they were still there in the middle of the kitchen floor. So we were like, lost all hope. She's never coming back.
Yeah.
We're about to get a really bad smell in a couple of days and then we're going to have to go and find it. And it was horrible. And we're obviously distraught over her being missing because, like, she's the most interactive pet we've had since we moved into the apartment. You know, you can pick her up and hold her, and like, mm-hmm. we've bought tubes and stuff so that she can climb all around and do a bunch of shit whenever she wants to. So like, I was really, really missing her. And then just before we were about to preheat the oven to 450, my boyfriend, he got this inkling in his mind. He was like, look, okay, one last try. So he pulls out the oven from the wall. Now, we had done it that morning and she wasn't there. So he pulled out the oven from the wall and her little stupid head is there looking up at you. Her little black beady eyes and her hands up like this. And she's just, you know, just chilling under there like it was warm.
My God. That happened to me with my cat. Do you remember? With the
dishwasher? Almost cooked your cat?
No. That happened with my cat in the dishwasher.
She got into the dishwasher.
Underneath it and then behind all the tubing and stuff.
Well, like, we couldn't figure it out because, if you can get in there, you can get out of there. And she is nothing if, like, Tina just loves to eat. That's all she does.
Yeah.
So we didn't understand why she hadn't come out for the Cheerios. But, I mean, thank God we found her. Because, I mean, she was under the oven, not in it. So,
but still.
She would have suffocated for sure.
Oh, my God.
For sure.
She had a lot to do before lunch.
She did, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have now... the top of her cage now doubles as a bookshelf because we've piled books on top of it just to make sure she's not going to do it again.
Tina is on lockdown.
She is on lockdown. She doesn't really, I mean, I don't think she really cares. The thing is like, you just look at the situation and you're like, I have no idea how this hamster got out because she was on top of a bookshelf. I mean, she obviously threw herself to the floor. It's not that far. It's not even a foot high. Like, but she obviously threw herself down onto the floor and then just scurried around the apartment for the rest of the day. Don't know how she didn't manage to get out. There's a gap underneath the door that she definitely would have fit under. But yeah, I mean, obviously delighted that we found her. So happy
that's
she's back.
Crazy.
Yeah. Oh, and just last thing. So she went missing that morning. 2 hours into her being missing and we being at work, my boyfriend starts texting me. He's like, look at this picture of a guinea pig. Let's buy this guinea pig. Let's adopt this guinea pig. Like, that kid has no morals.
I
no
was
going to
say,
whatsoever.
Right away.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was texting him. I was like, it's too soon. He's like, what do you want to do? Mourn a hamster. Yes. Yes. We had her for a long time. I like the hamster, you know? You can't let go of it that quick. It's not fair.
Well, you could have named the guinea pig Tina.
In homage to Tina. I guess it would have worked, but
I feel like that's kind of weird, though. I don't know. Tina, the same name.
Tina 2.0.
Yeah, 2.0. There you go. I could do that.
Anyway, it was too soon.
All right. Well, maybe your boyfriend wanted to fill the void that Tina had left with a bigger rodent.
In 4 hours after she went missing. And we hadn't even been back to look for her again, you know?
Based on the story it told, Tina left a big void. With her funny bum.
Oh, it's so funny. So funny.
All right. So, are those all your pets?
We did adopt 2 cats. It's a you know, bit of a strange story because those guys didn't last. We figured out that we weren't cat people. We did it on a foster basis. So anybody out there, you know, do that first. figure it out. Make sure that you and the cat are going to have a place to go after you guys have figured it out.
I'm curious, what went wrong?
They're just, I mean, look, we didn't know how nocturnal they are.
Oh.
And the thing is that we're living in, like, you know, an apartment which is entirely on one floor. We have a bedroom door that we can close and that's it. So the cat, neither of the cats really like those closing the bedroom door. And then, you know, you can hear them doing shit all night and they're up all night doing stuff. And it was just, it was to the point where we kind of weren't actually sleeping because the cats were making too much noise at night. So we just kind of figured it out that, look, you either need to have a house that, you know, the cat can go to a different room or whatever, or an extreme love for cats where you can look beyond sleep.
Yeah,
and be
which
okay
is me
because
I don't sleep. So, but you, you do have to like be able to not sleep.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they were fun guys.
Okay, so we're not forgetting anything under the stove or anything now?
What?
Why are you wiggling in your chair?
Because that's what I do when I'm inquisitive.
Oh, I have a fish called Donald.
A fish called Donald. See, yeah. It worked.
Also a nice guy.
I wiggled and all of a sudden a fish called Donald pops out.
He's still with us.
That's kind of weird. You wiggled and a fish called Donald popped out.
Yeah.
What are you doing with the fish, Dan?
How long have you had the fish for?
4 or 5 months.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the longest surviving member of our family. He's been around the longest. Donald, the OG.
All right, Tatiana, it's your turn to talk about...
Oh, man.
You know, your pets, your cats, how they talk to you, and how you try to set them on fire.
I never tried to set any of my pets on fire. No, Jesus. I did almost set my apartment on fire this week. It was horrifying. What was I going to say? I had the stove on and the wrong burner was on. And so there was a metal like roasting dish with a spatula in it. And apparently plastic has a flash point because it was a plastic spatula. So I put the wrong burner on. And all of a sudden, a couple minutes later, I'm waiting for my tea water to boil. And my kitchen has like 5-inch flames.
Shit.
Oh, my God. I was like, thank God I was there. So,
God,
yeah. So I'm like opening up the screen door to my apartment. So we have a little patio to like, you know, I blew out the flames, but plastic smokes.
Yeah.
And so it's stinking. So then my worry was like the fire alarms and stuff. And I threw it outside. But then I'm worried about the cats because we have these two cats we rescued. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to run away. And then I had the room to my guest room open that has our guinea pig in it. So then I'm like, oh, my God, are the cats going to attack the guinea pig? Because they've never seen each other. We always keep them separate.
Yeah.
So anyway, the pets complicate things. Oh, while I'm messaging Dan and Dan's making fun of me because almost burned down my apartment on tea water.
What, me make fun of you?
Tea water. I can't even cook water.
Oh, God.
Oh, I can take care of pets, but I can't cook water. What has become of me? We grew up with pets. I always grew up with dogs, actually. We never had cats because my parents weren't cat people. They are now. They love our pet cats, but they just never really knew anything about them, so they always had dogs.
Do they have any now?
So my husband and I technically own 5 cats. But when we moved back to New York, some of the cats were staying with my parents. And they just got so used to their house and they got so, you know, my parents got really attached to them. We didn't have the heart to, you know, take them away. So we wound up rescuing. We've always rescued all our pets. We wound up rescuing 2 new cats and they were like, they're not brother and sister, but they had come from a home. They're inseparable. Like we had to get them together. And so I'm a total cat lady. I love my cats. We have a guinea pig also. We had a guinea pig named Freddie initially, and he died after 9 days. We got him when he was sick. And so it was a horrible story. I didn't realize that the one thing that's deadly to guinea pigs is respiratory sicknesses.
Yeah.
So we rescued this pet guinea pig from a pet store. I don't want to name the name. And literally he was like sick right away. And so, you know, I started noticing crusting around his eyes and his nose. And we wound up taking him to the vet for like an emergency visit because it got so bad. She prescribed us antibiotics. She was instructing me how to help him breathe. So we get home and this poor guinea pig just kept getting worse and worse. Like he literally died 9 days after we got him. So we get home And the next day, I'm like holding this guinea pig because he's like breathing in and out, like heaving his ribs.
Oh my God.
And I have the shower on because I'm a nurse, right? So I'm like, oh my God, this thing can't die on me. What can I do? Like, you know, I'm such a nurse. And I turn the shower on, so the bathroom's steaming, and I'm holding the guinea pig up to the steam to try to like open his airways. I give him his antibiotics, and then I had to leave for work. So I literally put him back in his cage. I left for work, and I forgot something, so I turned around and went back, and not 5 minutes later, I got back, and he was dead.
That's horrible. That's got to be so rotten to go through, though.
Oh, my God. It was horrible.
Breathing in your hand like that, you're just like, you'd rather it be out of its misery.
Literally, honestly. Yeah. It was horrible. So we actually did. So this was the weird part of it. We had to return the body to the pet store.
Yeah.
And because we called them to explain what happened, and they were like, well, you can get a refund or another guinea pig, but you have to bring the body back. So it was like super weird because we had this body of a guinea pig in our freezer because it was in a box. No. We didn't know what to do with it. And then until Chris, my husband, brought, because I was like, I'm not doing this. Like, I can nurse, but I'm not. So he brought the body back to Petco. And, and then it wound up that there was still a guinea pig in the cage that had been there when we first got Freddie. Freddie, we name all our pets after rockers. So we had Freddie Mercury was the one that died. And so Dave Grohl, who we have Grohl now, Grohl was still in the cage at the pet store. So we wound up getting him. And, you know, 3 years later, he's still alive and well and very fat.
But, not in the freezer.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like I said, we have a bunch of cats, which I love to death. I'm a total cat lady. I've spent probably more money on my cats. Not intentionally. I don't buy them clothes or things to wear, but we rescue all our cats. So they all have a lot of medical issues because we take them in off the street or, you know, from a shelter where they haven't had any real treatment. So like I've had a cat that had Giardia. We rescued a cat that turned out to be pregnant. We had one that had all, you know, she had this emergency infection. We had the two cats we just rescued wound up needing to get teeth pulled because they had a horrible mouth infection. So I spent more money on my pets than I would probably spend on myself. So I kind of fit into the millennial demographic, I guess, of spending, but it's all medically necessary stuff, you know, like infections and stuff that. So that's my pet
story.
None of them
are depressed, are they?
No, because I actually spent
time. Have you had them analyzed, though, Daniel?
So this is the mental health nurse in me, right? Because I work in psychiatry. I literally do not therapy with my cats, but like every cat we rescue, I come up with a schedule. Like I spend 20 minutes a day talking to them like, I love you. I'm so glad we rescued you. And I do like positive talk with my cats.
If you wanted to like fit into your house and get along with them, but you got to spend time with them.
Exactly. So I do have like a little regimen for when I rescue animals to like get them to adjust. It's the psych nurse in
me. You didn't tell the dog story.
Oh, that is like the saddest story ever. You really want me to say that?
Yes, I want you to tell the dog story.
Literally, Dan has been sitting at his chair waiting for me to say the most like macabre and morose story ever.
Tell the sad one.
You're so sick. Oh my God.
What do you mean I'm sick?
You're like waiting for the depressing story.
You're the one that's leaving out your dog.
Yeah, it's a sad story.
Yes,
I'm trying to keep the podcast lighthearted.
What? Emer just talked about how she almost put her hamster in an oven.
Yeah, but that's hilarious.
Yeah, because we had a cat that did that. We had a cat that, Dan, you know, because I was freaking out in the station one day when we rescued one of my cats. I got home one day and she was missing. I searched high and low and everywhere. It turned out she somehow got like behind the tubing of my dishwasher and stuff. And I literally pulled, so under the dishwasher, there's like kind of like, you know, in the bottom of a fridge, there's that little metal grate thing.
Yeah.
I literally pulled that off and I could just see her eyes. And she wouldn't come out for 2 days. I had to leave a trail of like kitty things. I had to leave a trail of like kitty treats or whatever.
Yeah.
To food in the kitchen to get her out. And it got to the point where I was like my dad was going to come help me, come take the dishwasher out if we needed to. I was like, look, I'm just going to try to set this up and see if the cat comes out. So I gave her like a day or two. Otherwise, like I was like, I don't want to call the fire department. They're going to have to take my cabinets out of the wall because my dishwasher's in between cabinets.
Oh,
it was a mess. Yeah. But she wound up coming out eventually. So.
But how did she get like all the way under if you got cabinets on either side?
Literally one probably like 4-inch space between the dishwasher and this, because it's on a corner. So like,
is it the cat thing as well? Where they're like, they gauge everything if they can fit their head in it.
I think so. Yeah. I don't know, but I think so.
There's some animal that's
because cats get stuck places a lot. And I think that that's, because I researched when this happened, when my cat went behind the dishwasher, I was like starting to look up what I'm supposed to do online. And I read all these stories about how the fire departments had to like take cats out of places because they will climb into places, but then get stuck.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're interesting. I love cats. But
still waiting for that dog story.
You're so morose. I had a dog that wound up running away and he fell in the river and froze to death.
Oh, you told the story so much better the first time.
She's not trying to dwell on the
tell
past.
Tell it again about how everybody loved the dog and the dog was always running away and getting into things and fighting bears.
God, Tatiana, build it.
I'm letting Dan tell the story for
Get
me.
Get everybody emotionally invested in
Dan,
it.
Dan, tell the story.
I don't know the story as well as you do.
You just said it.
I'm having trouble remembering the dog's name.
Oh my God. Dan just said half the story. He used to run away every day. This dog was like jacked. He had muscles on muscles. Because we never got him fixed. My parents never got him fixed. So I'm sure the dog has dogs all up, spawn all over. But he used to run away every single day. Like even if a door was locked, he would somehow find a way to open it. And I mean, he fought bears and stuff. He was like a crazy mountain dog.
Yeah.
And then he snuck out one day and wound up, as we found out, falling into the river during the winter and froze to death. We found out because when we were searching for like, and I mean like not a day or two, we were searching for like weeks for him. We couldn't find him. We were down by the river across the street from my house and we saw something that looked like the tip of a rock coming out of the ice. And we couldn't tell if it was a rock or not. And it turned out to be my dog's head. So then my dad had to go cut him out of the ice. Oh, it was so disturbing.
You can sell that. You can sell that script.
Yes, you can.
Seriously. It could be like a Disney movie or something. You know those sad Disney movies like Old Yeller or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that even a Disney movie?
I can see it now. You standing on a little snow-covered mound.
Oh, my God. I know.
In a scarf and throwing rocks at the
It was so sad. I know. And I had to throw rocks at it because I was like, we thought it was a rock. So I'm like chucking rocks to see if it made a clinking noise when it hit it. And then the worst part of it was winter time, obviously, so we couldn't even bury him in this, like, because the ground was all frozen. So this dog, my dog, is like in our garage because we have a separate garage from the house. So he's in the garage while my dad tried to figure out what to do with the vet to like cremate him or whatever, because we wound up cremating him. Oh my God, it was the most disturbing thing in the world. Of course, Danny would want me to say that story.
You happy now?
Ooh, what's this? You are so demented.
What? At least I didn't ask you if it did make a tinking sound when you threw rocks at the dog's head.
God. It didn't. That's how we knew it wasn't a rock.
Well, I so just did ask that question. Okay. Let me see if I remember correctly. Was the dog's name Mariska?
Mishka.
Mishka.
Close. Mishka. It means little bear.
Okay, and that is the tragic story of Mishka.
I know.
Oh, we all feel for you, Tatiana.
Gone but never forgotten.
Oh, but you didn't have any like other like growing up pets, because I got my whole catalog mapped out in my head.
I mean, yeah, I did. We had dogs, so we had Mishka, and then we had another dog, Lola. So, but that was really it until I went into the cat phase.
But you never like had pet worms or pet frogs?
No,
or something
I caught
like that.
I caught frogs all the time. I never had pet frogs or pet worms. No, thank you. I used them for fishing.
I used to put wood louse into plastic bottles and give it to my granny.
Oh, really?
Because I used to think that she liked them. Because she was always talking about them. They would get in her bathroom window and into her bathtub. And she'd always be like talking about them. And I assumed that it was out of affection.
Oh,
So like, I'll bottle them up and give them to you.
Oh, good intentions.
Okay, now are you ready for the epic tales of Dan's pets?
Tell it. Tell the most tragic one first.
I had to tell it in chronological order. I don't really have a tragic, but oh wait, Dr. Gonzo. Anyway, but even that one has like a weird twist to it. Okay, I'm going to start here. So the first pet was Daisy the dog. It was some kind of like terrier or whatever. But I was too young to really remember if I had an emotional bond with Daisy the dog or not. And then after Daisy, there was...
BD.
No. Wait, no. No. Did you just say VD?
No, I meant to say like AD.
Oh.
You know, like AD.
Yes. So after Daisy, AD, there were the hamsters. And I didn't have that much luck with hamsters like Emer did.
Crafty but, little feckers, aren't they?
Yes. But I remember like because I had a brother and a sister, we all had to have a hamster. And I named all of my hamsters Spike. And the hamster was my first official personal pet. So if you want to play that porn game where it's my first pet's name and the street I grew up on, my name would be Spike Mohawk. I have a gimmick. So there was Spike and there was Flash. I forget what my sister named her hamster. She always preferred a baby hamster or a smaller hamster to what me and my brother got. But it was my brother's hamster, Flash, that was weird. And we didn't...
I like that name, Flash.
Yes. And we didn't know if Flash was a boy or a girl because we didn't have the internet, so we couldn't look up how to tell the gender of a hamster. And it turned out that Flash was a girl or a female and Spike was a boy. And what eventually happened was Flash bit Spike's pecker off after...
Oh, my God.
After Spike stuck his spike in Flash. And... And I just remember because we had like this big like plastic see-through cage and we had like the little tunnels and stuff and like a little tunnel that led to a little apartment. And I just remember watching Spike climb down the tunnel and then run to the center of the cage, then look out at me, squeak and jump, and then boom, Flash got him.
Oh my God.
But that Flash the hamster was a prick because one time...
Sounds like it.
One time I tried to reach in to pick up Flash and Flash bit me on my index finger. And then I pulled back and as I'm pulling back, the damn thing held on to my finger as I pulled it out of the cage and backward. Then I flung the hamster halfway across the basement. And then Flash was, well, we found Flash eventually next to, like, the dryer. Weird.
Flash sounds like a rat or something. It's aggressive.
Yes, it was a very aggressive hamster that liked to bite things.
I didn't know they were so malicious.
Have you ever
Maybe
been,
Tina went missing on purpose.
Have you ever been bit by Tina, Emer?
Huh?
Ever been bit by Teamer?
Teamer?
Ever been bit by Tina, Emer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, like... It doesn't hurt at all.
So like, you let, like, Emer...
She's... I'm Emer, the hamster's Tina.
I was going to ask you if you let Emer gnaw on you. You never let Tina gnaw on you a little bit?
I don't think... She's never, like, done it continuously, but, yeah, no, it just... It doesn't, like... You don't really feel it at all. Plus, she's a dwarf hamster.
Okay.
So she's, like, twice as small as most of them.
So...
Some of her teeth are tiny.
So I had a series of hamsters, a series of fish, all named Spike.
The fish too?
Yeah, the fish too.
You just like Spike?
I don't know why. I wanted to name everything Spike when I was a kid, but eventually there was Toby the dog, and Toby the dog was the product of a whore. Seriously. There was that, you know how every neighborhood has that one family?
What do you mean?
Of dogs?
No. Well,
I'm so confused.
Kind of. Anyway, there was a neighborhood dog, my friend's dog at the time, and it was the dog that was constantly pregnant and constantly pumping out puppies.
The town bike.
Oh.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What'd you just say?
The town bike.
Okay. Jeez, whoa. For a second, I thought I was like being introduced to some new like Irish word for a whore, but... that was me being ignorant. But anyway, so Toby, because he like came from a dog that was constantly pumping out puppies, Toby was kind of aggressive.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say disfigured.
No, but Toby was a very aggressive dog, and eventually, of course, my dad said Toby got sent to the farm.
Oh,
my granddad's farm.
What?
Did the tire track?
No, no, not a tire track. I'm pretty sure Toby got put to sleep.
Oh, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, but after Toby, there was Penny, and Penny was a mutt that loved everybody, but Penny wasn't that bright of a dog, and eventually Penny ran away and never came back.
Oh, maybe she found love in someone else's home.
On a farm.
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly. But Penny actually had a litter. Well, the whole like goal with Penny was that my parents wanted us kids to experience a litter. And so the weird thing about how the litter happened was that we had like a series of suitors, like my uncle's dog was a suitor, and we're trying to get Penny pregnant. And eventually what happened was there was this neighborhood Rottweiler that kept on getting loose. And one day we caught them doing it between the fence.
Oh!
And it was just weird because they were like back to back.
I was going
to
say it's got to be like bent backwards.
Yeah, well, the Rottweiler was smart enough to snake his dork through the fence so that Penny could back it up into it. And they got stuck.
That's what happens.
Yep. And so a completely awkward moment of like three kids discovering their dog getting nailed by a Rottweiler through the fence. But our reaction was natural. We started arguing over what the puppies were going to look like. So Penny had a pretty big litter, and then there was like this huge like this classic argument between me and my sister because she wanted her favorite puppy to get adopted by her grandparents, but they chose my favorite puppy, and there was tears and bitterness and all that business. But eventually, we moved, Penny ran away, and we didn't really have a dog for a short time, but eventually we got a cat, and we got Missy the cat. And the fond memories I have about Missy the cat are that she was vicious. But she wasn't vicious to humans, she was vicious to other animals, because we got her when we first moved to our new house, and the development was still under development, so there was empty lots neighboring our house. And one day I see Missy just chilling in the vacant lot, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what she's doing. And I go over to pick her up, and she's gnawing on the rest of a rabbit that she had killed. She had just finished its head. Yeah, she had just finished its head, and she was working her way down. Another funny thing about Missy the cat was our other neighbor, they had an indoor cat because they didn't want their cat bringing dead animals around. Mm-hmm. But Missy got confused between her houses because we both had blue houses, and Missy would leave all of her trophies on their doorstep.
Oh my God. That's hysterical. Yeah.
But unfortunately, my mother is deathly allergic to cats, and we really shouldn't have been having a cat. And Missy was also kind of a slut, and she got pregnant. And she had a litter, and that just like really made my mom's asthma go overboard. So one day when we came home from a camping trip, we found out that the cats went to the same farm as Toby.
Oh.
Probably not. They probably like brought him to like the Humane Society or something.
And probably wanted other homes found for them.
But the disappointing part was, you know, here I come back from a little camping trip expecting to go play with the kittens.
Yeah.
And no kittens, not even Missy. All gone. So then, after Missy, we went years without a pet until my sister got a golden retriever when she was in college, and she couldn't take care of the golden retriever because she was living in an apartment at the time, and she would like keep it in the bathroom. So eventually, the golden retriever lost his mind, and the golden retriever had to move in with my parents, and they named him Sammy, and Sammy was one of the greatest dogs ever. Like, you know, he was completely cool. He stayed off the furniture. He was modest. He would bark at you for treats. He wouldn't let my dad rub my mom's feet because he would get jealous and he would bark at her. Mm-hmm. So my dad would have to pet the dog and rub my mom's feet at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Another cool thing about Sammy was you could throw food at him in any direction, and he would catch it. The dog never dropped the treat. You could just toss it over your shoulder, and you'd get it. But Sammy was an awesome dog, but then there was, like, the tragic side to Sammy, because eventually my dad had colon cancer. So after my dad's operation, Sammy was kind of like his power animal. But what eventually happened to Sammy was the vet said that he had developed tumors in his stomach. And it was just really heartbreaking, you know, because it was my dad's favorite dog of all time. And the dog wouldn't leave my dad's side after his treatment, except for when he came back from, when my dad came back from like the radiation treatment. Like the dog just knew that something was going on with my dad. So the dog kind of kept this distance, but not. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the dog was like kind of like my dad's power animal. And to have the dog to have to be put down because it developed tumors in its stomach was like really tragic. And no one could go into the vet's office when they put him down, except for me. So I was the last person that Sammy saw before he passed away.
You're really
so
making
sad.
Up for,
I know,
for Tatiana's rendition of her dog story.
Oh, I can make it sadder.
No, that's okay. It's already okay. Sad.
All right, so that was Sammy. And after Sammy, I moved out, and then like I had a slew of my own pets. But well, and now we get into like how, like, just how bad of a pet owner my wife is. So we get Lucy the cat, and Lucy is this sweet little tiger kitty. Oh wait, I didn't talk about Dr. Gonzo. Oh, Dr. Gonzo. I was living with a different girlfriend at the time, and there was two cats. There was Vision and Dr. Gonzo. Vision was this black cat, and Dr. Gonzo was a tabby that we got from a pet store. And what happened to Dr. Gonzo was he got out of the house and hid underneath somebody's truck who was visiting, and they backed up over Dr. Gonzo. And this was like days before we were moving from Red Hook to Latham. So we had to bring Dr. Gonzo's body to Latham, where we had rented a house behind the strip club. And oh, that is where I buried Dr. Gonzo.
Behind the strip club?
Yes. And to this day, Dr. Gonzo is buried behind the strip club.
Okay, my God.
So that's Dr. Gonzo. Then there was, now fast forward to Lucy the cat. We had Lucy. Everything was going great with Lucy. And my wife is allergic to cats as well, but Lucy didn't really affect her allergies that much because she was a bit of a short-haired cat. But while we had Lucy, my wife thought it would be a great idea to get Lucky, the purebred miniature schnauzer. And I just remember feeling so bad for Lucy because Lucky didn't really pick up on the fact that Lucy was a cat. And I never knew just how sensitive a cat's skin was until I saw Lucky take a mouthful of it.
What?
So we couldn't have Lucy and Lucky in the same room together.
Oh my God.
But so eventually we found a new home for Lucy, and we had Lucky. And Lucky is still alive, and Lucky still loves me, and Lucky is like probably like number two on my dog list, because my current, I can't say that my current dog is number two because that would be mean. And well, what happened to Lucky was during Lucky there was also Raiden. My wife just had to try and have another cat. And she got this white cat with, like, I forget if he had black paws or something. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I decided to name him Raiden, and the cat really took to my wife and would, like, sleep in the same bed as her and all this business and wouldn't come out of the room, just left me and Lucky to the living room, and Raiden stayed with my wife in the bedroom. And eventually my wife couldn't breathe.
She's allergic.
Yes, so she had to give Raiden back to where we had rescued him from, and that was awkward. So,
oh my God, yeah.
Then we moved back in with my parents when my wife was pregnant, because I didn't think that our apartment was very like pregnant person safe. So I just wanted to kind of stay with my parents until after the pregnancy, because it had dawned on me that our windows didn't lock and there was like a couple other weird things going on with our apartment. And when we went to live with my parents while my wife was pregnant, we brought Lucky with us. And that's when Lucky met Sally. And Sally is the dog that my wife and I adopted from my dad to help him with the whole Sammy business. And Sally is a gold lab, and Lucky's a miniature schnauzer. So Sally's like way bigger than Lucky. And what happened was that Lucky turned into Sally's bitch. And honestly, I don't think Lucky would know what to do without Sally, because Lucky will not take a treat unless Sally gets it first.
Oh my
Sometimes
God.
Lucky will not go outside until Sally approves of it, nor will he come inside unless Sally approves of it. Lucky has to save at least a mouthful of his dinner for Sally. It's mandatory.
God, it's like prison.
I know, seriously.
Lucky is Sally's like, bitch. But
they're dogs,
love,
right? Yeah.
But they're dogs and they love each other.
And dogs have that like alpha mentality, yeah. Like prison gangs and stuff.
So, and because, so when we went to move out of my parents, we just decided there's to separate those two would be cruel. So we let Lucky stay with Sally, and that's where Lucky is to this day. Now we move on to, I'm almost done. You just gave me a look, didn't you?
Well, because it's 7:30, so we have to be done soon, and we're still on pet stories.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I'll
speed
it up.
We're going to have no time for our
The next two games. Are the Monto Cat Randy Savage and the Sensational Queen Sherry, who my wife had to eventually give away because once again it affected her allergies, and our son still reminds
Tell your
us.
Wife to stop getting cats.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I told her that those are the last cats because we had to find a home for them too, and my son still brings it up to this day because Randy used to sleep with them. So now we have BB-8, the obnoxious dog who farts and is too excited about everything and has to wear a cone around his head on an average of every 6 months because there's something new wrong with him.
Oh,
BB-8 was a rescue from Alabama, and like Tatiana, we had to spend a lot of money on medicating BB-8 back to health, and he has currently tried to chew off one of his dew claws, so he's in a cone right now, and he wrestles with my son all the time, and now we will play our games so that we can get done. Well, it's almost 7:30. Okay.
It is 7:30.
We only get to play one game now because I went on too long about the pets.
You ruined it.
I didn't ruin it.
We did have a good discussion in the beginning, though, about different
yes,
stuff.
Yes, we did. Yeah. Now, we're going to play the original game, but first I just want to go around and say what everyone else said about each other, because when we first recorded this episode, before this episode was lost somehow, we played a game at the end where we told each other what type of pet we would be if we were pets. And I'm going to go first and say that Emer said it would be a bullfrog that sat there and said, get off my lawn, get off my lawn, get off my lawn.
I don't think I did.
And Tatiana said that I would be a fat, sassy cat.
Yep.
Do you remember what you two got?
I was, shite, what was I?
I called you, I said that you would be a ferret.
Yeah.
I got some sort of rodent because I remember talking about how people called me Fievel growing up.
I said canary.
Okay, yes, you
I remember
did.
I said canary.
Because I think I had yellow on too the day, or something was like yellowish.
Yeah. It was the weird tie into gas and canaries warning people, and you being a nurse. I was just trying to tie it all in. It kind of worked.
And then I said that you would be a yippy little Alaskan husky. Because, you know, you grow up with snow and all that, and you're always talking, and you're always making fun of me. So I said that you were yippy. Wait, what did you say that Emer would be?
Me?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I can't remember either. It was something good.
That's why we're going to do it again real quick.
Yeah, but we don't remember. All I remember is you were a fat, sassy cat and a slow turtle and a bullfrog.
Oh, thanks.
That's all that really matters.
Thanks a bunch. Yeah, that's all that really matters. That's why we're going to play it again right now really quick. Okay.
I think Emer, I said a hamster for Emer. Because she talked about Tina. That's what I said.
Oh, well, why do we keep on saying that Emer's a rodent?
No, you said it didn't make sense because I didn't have a fat ass.
Yeah, we argued about it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I've ever even looked at your ass. I want to know if it's fat or not.
Well, I don't know, but I got kind of butthurt at that one because, I mean, I always thought as a white woman, I was more in doubt in that area than most, but, I mean, whatever.
Okay, fine. Anyway.
Didn't take it to heart.
Okay, fine. So here we go again. All right, we're going to make this one really fast. Emer, what would Tatiana be if she were a pet?
Hamster. Tina.
What? Me or you?
No, I said Emer. I thought you said Tatiana.
I heard it backwards.
I'm still going to go with bird. I'm going to say goldfinch this time, though.
There you go, Tatiana.
There we go.
Specific.
Chirp, chirp.
You get to be a goldfinch.
Chirp, chirp, chirp.
And I'm going to change it up. Tatiana is not a yippy little Alaskan husky. I'm going to say that Tatiana is kind of like a collie, kind of like Lassie, because she is a nurse, and for some reason, whenever you call upon Tatiana, she's always there, or she, and we're always like messaging back and forth, and she's always telling me about how she almost burned her cats alive and stuff like
that. I did not almost burn my cats alive. It's like how the game of telephone starts. You say one thing and it turns into like...
All right, fine. Well, I figured I'd be a little bit more complimentary and say that you were like an intelligent like rescue dog like Lassie.
Oh, okay. I'll take that.
So, I mean, I'm still going to get fat, sassy cat.
Always.
You're
always going to be a fat, sassy cat.
Thank you. Okay, now...
It's like just walking like...
All right, fine, Tati. And then what is Emer? If Emer was a pet, what pet would Emer be?
It's hard because I said hamster last time because she talked so much about Tina. Mm. I don't know. This is tough. Because Emer has a green jacket on, so it's throwing me off because I keep thinking chameleon because you had a chameleon.
It's fine.
But
I am
you know
not
what I
that
mean?
Moody, though. I am not that
well, you're
moody.
Not, and that's why I'm like, I don't want to pick that because you're not that moody. But the chameleon keeps popping in my head because you have a green jacket
but
on.
She can't be a chameleon. All she has to do is talk and, you know, and she doesn't blend in.
Exactly.
Am I being a big jerk this episode?
Yeah. Go
you
for
always
a sheep
that.
Or something. They're like inextricably Irish, right?
Yeah. And
but if you're a sheep, then you're just like everyone else. No, you're just like Fred Durst or something.
Excuse you. Hey, every sheep has its own... person.
Every rose has its thorn.
There you go.
Oh yeah, and every sheep has its ba. What do you
there
mean?
There you go. Every sheep has its ba. Emer is a sheep, but not a sheep of the masses. She's a cool sheep.
I like sheep.
There you go.
Okay, now because I'm trying to be complimentary this time around and not like, well, I don't know if ferret is like. Were you offended by the ferret comment?
Me?
Yes.
No. Ferrets are cool, man. They're kind of smelly, but they're cool.
See, I called you a smelly rodent the last time. That's not cool. I got to think of something nice to say about Emer
I
now.
I like ferrets.
It doesn't matter if you said that they were smelly. So you like smelly rodents?
Sure. I mean, I own one right now. I mean, Tina's not that smelly, but...
Okay, well, I'm going to give you a better one. I'm going to give you a better one. Just let me think on it for a second here, and I'm going to say that, well, let's see... Well, Emer's from Ireland, so to an American, that's kind of exotic.
Like the least exotic foreign country in the world.
It's like not tropical.
Can I be a duck? I'll be a mallard.
Well, why do you want to be a duck?
Because I like ducks.
Well, actually, yeah. Well,
and is it mallards? There are the ducks that have the brown and green.
Yeah.
All right, fine. You can be a duck, and I'll tell you why being a duck is so complimentary. Because I always say that if I were an animal, I would be a duck because I would be prepared for all terrains.
You always say that?
Yeah, I do.
When was the last time you said that?
Like a couple months ago. Maybe a year ago. You didn't let me finish the explanation. It's because a duck is prepared for all terrains.
He tells all of his friends at the dog park.
Yes, I do. I tell all my friends about the duck, and you two keep interrupting me, and I can't tell you why the duck is the ultimate animal. It's because it can fly, it can swim, and it can walk on land.
There you go.
See, I just called you the ultimate animal that you can
prepared
eat.
Prepared for all weathers.
Weird.
Yep. And we're delicious.
Aflac.
Okay, so... Are you guys going to stick with the I'm a bullfrog and a fat, sassy cat?
I want to change mine.
Okay.
You are a Belgian blue Frisian cow.
What the hell is that?
You want to know why? Do you want to know why?
I want to know what it is first.
It's a type of cow, a cattle.
Oh, great. So I'm a Belgian cow.
Belgian blue. They're the most the most fanciest cows ever.
I'm a fancy cow.
Plus you have a blue t-shirt on, so that makes sense.
Yeah, and the bullfrog comment came off the green t-shirt you were wearing the last time. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, there's a pattern here. But it is because since you cut your hair.
So I'm a, what?
See what happens, you cut your hair and you become a cattle.
Yeah.
Should have kept the long hair.
Dan, again, because you complimented me with the duck. I'm trying to compliment you here, okay? Cows are very highly regarded the world over.
Sure.
They sell for a lot of money. These ones in particular, and they're the most, they earn the most amount of medals in cattle shows.
Oh, you're a hot commodity, Dan.
You're a show winner.
I'm fancy
cow.
Livestock.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, these are the ones that don't get eaten. You know what I mean? They die of old age.
So I'm not even good enough to be eaten. So what happens when they like milk the udders? Does like Belgian waffle batter come out?
No, these are cattle. They're not cows.
Oh, oops.
I'm going to go with, I'm changing mine for you, Dan.
Okay.
I'm going to go with a blue whale.
Yeah.
Because you have a blue shirt on, but you also blow a lot of steam and make a lot of noise.
Are
without,
you two implying
without,
something?
Without a lot of threat. So you're the blue whale.
Do I need to go on a diet or start you're doing like more push-ups or something?
Like making all these threats and arguments like, get off my lawn. Ooh, and there's no actual threat there.
There are some pretty ripped Belgian blue cattle out there, I will have you know. They're bred to have like decent muscle mass,
this is
you know.
My favorite game
oh yeah,
ever.
My ego's rising. You
this
know?
Is my favorite game ever.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad it's your favorite game ever. Blue whale and fancy Belgian waffle cow. Well, and yeah. So it's about that time. Because
if you had an orange t-shirt on, I'd say you were an orangutan that like scratched your butt all day. It all depends what color t-shirt you're wearing.
Exactly. I said that you were like one of the most dependable dogs in all of history. And I get blue whale and
I'm starting to think no matter what we would have attributed to you, you would find a problem with it. So
I know.
There is one animal that I wouldn't find a problem with.
Go ahead.
A duck.
Well, Emer's the duck, but you can't be a duck.
Yeah, Emer's the duck. Emer's the duck. I get it.
Two ducks in one room. I know. It doesn't work.
All right. Well, wait a minute. Can you have a pet blue whale or a pet fancy schmancy Belgian blue waffle cow?
Yeah, of course. They have them in the ocean. The oceanographers track whales. They're basically like pets.
All right. Well, that's our pets episode. Just always remember Sammy and what was that dog that you threw stones at his head after he died?
Oh, Mishka. This is why you'll always get a bad comment.
Why?
Because of this kind of stuff, you jerk.
All right, did you want to pay tribute to any of your lost pets, Emer?
Sooty, if you're out there, oh God, I hope you're not, you'd be ancient if you were out there. You're definitely not out there. You good.
Okay, and that is this episode of
Adopt, Don't Shop.
Yes, adopt, don't shop. This is the Generation X Files.